We're reading from Galatians 4:21 to 5:1. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These two women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren one, who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's take a moment to pray together. Father, we ask that you would meet us now, because that's what we need. We need to encounter you as we come from all sorts of different places and backgrounds this morning. And we may find ourselves really excited to be worshiping. Others of us are here, perhaps not being at a church service in a long time and feeling really distant from you. Others of us are really distressed or depressed or just deeply frustrated. Others of us are just numb because we're just so comfortable with where life has placed us. But regardless of where we are, we know this one thing to be true. We need to encounter you and your grace and your message of mercy and allow us to experience that this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first off, let me welcome this morning all our friends from Resurrection Oakland. I'm so glad you're tuning in and worshiping with us today. You know, the last time I was actually invited to preach here at Res Oakland, it was actually when it was still meeting back at the Impact Hub. And it's a real privilege to be preaching here in this beautiful sanctuary and connecting with you again this morning. Now, if you're joining us rather new to this sermon series, we've been in the middle of the book of Galatians this summer. And today we're looking at what feels like a little bit of a cryptic passage, but it's also a really interesting one. And I think the idea is you might be thinking, what does this have to do with me? And I'm going to make the case that it has everything to do with you and to me and our modern context, because Paul is writing to a group of Christians who don't feel like they belong in this church community. They feel like outsiders in the church, in their faith. And I don't know if you know what I mean, but I have a guess you probably do. Have you ever entered a new place, been to a new gathering, and you enter for the first time and you're wondering, are these my people? I mean, do I fit in? Do I belong? You're listening to the conversations, you're looking at the way people dress, and you're assessing, am I cool enough? Am I pretty enough? Am I smart enough? Am I spiritual enough? Am I creative enough? And am I even like politically aware or woke enough? And you have over here a conversation, you overhear someone saying, you know, the pastries here are from a local bakery. Tells you something about this place. You have another group over here, maybe some family talking about, well, there's a public school option, private school option. There is a homeschool option. Well, I guess we're all homeschooling right now, shelter in place. You have another group that's talking about cars and about the virtues and the merits of electric cars versus gas-guzzling large vehicles, you know, and everything that signals. And you have another group that's talking about, well, should we be wearing masks while we are jogging? And you have another group that's talking about, well, perhaps we can go get boba tea together. And you're trying to figure out, in all of this, do I belong? And Paul is writing to Christians in Galatia who feel like they don't belong. So they're trying to fit in by adjusting their theology and their practice because they want to belong. Now, let me do a quick recap of the letter for you because it's going to help us understand this passage this morning. Because the Apostle Paul arrived in this region of Galatia, which is located in kind of modern South Central Turkey. And he brought people together with this one idea that when you come to believe in Jesus as Messiah, you are part of God's family, regardless of race, gender, social status, meaning rich, poor, educated, uneducated, slave, free, none of that matters, and specifically whether you are Jew or Gentile. The church found their collective identity and unity in one thing, which is faith in Jesus. This is the power of the gospel to create a new community based on that one thing, and they realize we are the one people of God. And then after some time, Paul left Galatia to start other churches, and a rival set of Jewish Christian missionaries showed up, and they came into the church. And they came and said, you know, Paul is absolutely right. You have to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. He is essential. But you know what he left out? That is not enough for you to become a Christian. You have to add other stuff on top of that, because to be fully Christian, you also have to keep Old Testament ceremonial law that distinguish Jew from Gentiles in behavior and practice. Things like circumcision, kosher food laws, Sabbath keeping, all these other festivals. Why? Because it's saying this is the way you become holy. And if you don't keep the law, then you're not fully Christian yet. So we can't eat at the same table. We can't share in the Lord's Supper. We can't really, really be one. And when Paul heard about this, he writes back to the church, and this is the letter we have. And he tells them, you know, don't listen to this because you are being deceived. This is not a different form or version of Christianity, not some different style of Christianity. He said, this is not the gospel. It's not Christianity at all. And Paul's been reminding them, all you need to become a child of God, to be a part of God's family, is faith in Jesus. It's not about what you've done. It's about what he's done and his faithfulness. And of course, he's been pushing this message. And we recognize that doesn't mean that change doesn't come to us if you have faith in Christ. He's going to get to that in chapters 5 and 6. But here, he has been reemphasizing this idea that in order to come to faith, in order to be a Christian, what you need is faith in Jesus, and that is it. And last week, we saw Paul making this personal plea to the Christians, saying, don't go back to what the gospel freed you from. And today, he's going to throw down a theological gauntlet here, and we want to understand what he's trying to say in this passage, because he talks about two sons and two covenants, and I think once we start understanding it, it's actually not that difficult. So look at this idea of two sons, and look at verse 22 with me. He says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Why does Paul bring up these two sons of Abraham? What's the point? Because if you read through the letter of Galatians, you know Paul has been talking about what it means to be part of God's family, meaning being children of Abraham, because that's how Jews described who they were. That is what it meant to belong in God's family. You know, if you go to the New Testament, there's this place in John 8 where Jesus is having this debate with these religious leaders of his day. And they get really riled up about Jesus. And they say to him, who do you think you're talking to, Jesus? We are the children of Abraham. What do you mean we have to do all this stuff like repent? We are the children of Abraham. Now remember, the Galatians were not Jews who came to become followers of Jesus, but they were secular men and women living in the Greco-Roman world. They were not familiar with the scriptures. They didn't live according to the Ten Commandments, but they lived like everyone else as part of that pagan culture of their day. And that means something, because one of the things we have a hard time imagining, because Christianity had such an impact, an incredible impact on the Western world, we forget what life was like in the Greco-Roman world before Christianity came with its new ideas. We forget how cruel, how unjust, how lascivious the pagan world actually was. You know, David Jones referred me to a book that came out last fall called Dominion by the author Tom Holland. Not the actor who plays Spider-Man, but the British historian. And the book is about the impact Christianity has made on the Western world. And he goes to document and talk and write in great detail about the brutality, the injustice, the abuse, especially against women, the marginal, the poor, the disabled. That was a normal part of Greco-Roman life. And why am I telling you this? Because when the Galatians came to faith and they began to understand the vision God had for human life, what life was meant to be, what their lives should look like, I mean, they were utterly filled probably with shame. Shame. Because they're recognizing, oh my gosh, this is who I was and this is what God is calling me to. And when you think about the shame we have, think about it. What do we do with it? We hide it. We don't want anyone to know. The Bible tells us we all suffer from being naked and ashamed. And this goes back to Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve, their eyes are open. When sin enters the world, they're afraid, they're ashamed, and they want to hide. We all know there's something wrong with us. And we all do this, cover our shame. And it's one of the things that actually drive us. And we try so hard to cover it, don't we? This is why we need to distinguish ourselves, to be successful, to be creative, to be unique, to find our identity, maybe as people who fight injustice or to be right. This is why we long to be desired, to be seen as attractive. We are trying to cover our shame, and we are often pretty good at it, aren't we? And the Galatians, as they came out of their paganism, and their conscience is just like awakened by the Holy Spirit, they look at themselves and they keep asking, God, how can you accept me? And Paul said, remember, you're not saved by your holiness. You're not saved by what you've done, by your accomplishments, but you are saved by putting your faith in the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And in spite of all that you've done, all your shame and guilt, in spite of all of that, you have been adopted. You are children of God. You are children of Abraham. And they felt free. They had new life in him. But of course, after Paul left, like I told you, these Jewish Christians, they came in and they said, what? Paul said you're children of Abraham? Sure, you got to believe in Jesus and forgiveness of sin. That's wonderful. But you know what? You still have a long way to go. Look at what you've done. Think about who you were. You have to go back and keep the law. You have to be better. And then you have to purify yourselves like we've been doing for years. And believing in Jesus, that's only the beginning. I mean, consider who you were. You are not yet children of Abraham. Not just yet. And it's in this context Paul comes in and he counters these people and he says, you want to talk about children of Abraham? Let's talk about it. Because remember, he had two sons. They were both his sons. One was Ishmael, and he was born according to the flesh, the ordinary way, and the other was Isaac, and he was born through promise. Now, let me take you back to that story. If you remember what happened, it's one of those disturbing stories in the Bible. And if you go back to Genesis 15, 16, and on, you know what happened there. God had come to Abraham and Sarah and said, you know, I know you've never been able to have children, but he promises them, you are going to have a child. And through this child, you're going to have so many descendants, they'll be more numerous than the stars that you can count in heaven. And they wait for years and years and years, and nothing happens. And they start getting a little panicky. You know, they're getting to that age, they feel like this is impossible. So Sarah one day turns to Abraham and says, look, hey, my biological clock has stopped ticking here. I'm never going to get pregnant. And in that culture, for a woman to be childless meant she was a failure. She was filled with shame. And they are thinking, well, God hasn't come through for us, and there's one other avenue left for us to have children. And in those days, it was legal for a husband to sleep with the servant of his wife. And if that woman, that servant, that slave woman gave birth, that child legally became part of that family. It was kind of a surrogacy in the ancient Near East. So Sarah and Abraham had a choice here. They could get a family through human efforts, or they could continue to wait and trust that God would come through in a miraculous way through intervention. And he, Abraham and Sarah, decided, we waited long enough. God has not come through for us. We are going to make a family happen by our own hands. So they take matters into their own hands. Abraham has a son with Hagar. They name him Ishmael. And sometime later, God miraculously gives Sarah and Abraham their own son, Isaac. Now, Paul interprets this story, this situation, and applies it to the Galatians, because in verse 24, he says, now this may be interpreted allegorically because these women are two covenants. That's verse 24. Two covenants are two ways of relating to God. The question is, do I decide to, number one, wait for God and be completely dependent on his strength and wisdom for salvation? Or number two, do I take matters into my own hands and through human effort believe that I could bring about salvation? And Paul is saying, when you go the human way, depending on your own strength, depending on your own ability to keep God's law, he says you become a slave. You are entering into slavery again. And this is verse 24, where he says, one is from Mount Sinai bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. And this isn't that hard for us to understand, because you understand what happened to Abraham's family. Because once Ishmael was born, I mean, all sorts of terrible stuff happened. But first of all, I mean, Abraham and Sarah exploited Hagar. Hagar gives Abraham a child. Hagar is young. She's probably attractive. And we're told in Genesis 16:3, Hagar actually looked with contempt on Sarah. That is, she started treating her like dirt, thinking, you know what? I'm Abraham's favorite now. I'm young. I'm attractive. I've given him what he always wanted. And Sarah, you are a failure. You have never done that. And later on, when Isaac was born, we learn that Ishmael actually started to bully and pick on Isaac and mocked him. Genesis 21:3, you go back and read all about it. You know why? I mean, it makes sense. Here is Ishmael, who was the firstborn son to Abraham, his father, but he understood Isaac was now the favored one over him because he was born of the slave woman. And poor Ishmael, he did all of this mean stuff to his brother because what? He knew he wasn't loved. He took his own life in his own hands. By doing that, Abraham kind of pretty much screwed up his own family. And Paul is saying, hey, when you try to use your own strength and power to deal with your own shame in this way and nakedness, when you do just what Abraham did, you become a slave instead of becoming free, and you are enslaved. So to the Galatians, Paul is saying, if you listen to the false teachers and try to keep the law as a way for you to feel like you are now a part of God's family, you're going to be a slave. You will be on a performance treadmill that will never let you off because it keeps saying this program isn't ending. It keeps adding another 10 minutes. It keeps adding another hill. And you think you're done, but it keeps going and you can't get off. and we become a slave just like Hagar and Ishmael. And the only way you're going to be free, the only way you're going to have your shame taken away and be given a new identity is to understand it is something only Jesus can do. Boy, we work hard to cover up our shame, don't we? All of our inadequacies, all of the working hard, trying to get into the right schools, finding the right job, maybe getting the right spouse, the kind that others are jealous of, the right house, having the right family that you hope everyone envies. We pine after these things oftentimes because we feel like unless we do, we have no hope. We need it. If we don't have it, it's just too much to bear. And if things don't work out the way we want, we just remain angry. I mean, I know a lot about insecurity. You know, when I was finishing up middle school and starting high school, some of you know my story, so indulge me as I tell it once more, but I had cancer and I had a full amputation of my arm just before high school began. And I remember starting high school being so self-conscious of what I look like, who I was, how will I be accepted? I am so different physically. Will people like me? The longing to cover up everything about me because I just wanted to be seen and liked. So what do? I make sure my prosthetic look as good as possible. Well, I can't hide the fact that I'm disabled. So what do? I want to be liked. I want to be known as the smart kid, the good kid. Maybe I'll cover up. I'll buy some nice clothes, cover myself up. But the more you do this, I realize it felt like a house of cards that was going to crumble because that never brought any security. And I started finding myself in the scriptures, understanding something. Here is something that God offers. He offers me sonship, and he tells me I have something in Jesus that cannot be taken away. His love, his commitment, and the durability of Jesus' love for me is far stronger than anything I can do. And that started to change the way I see myself, relate to other people. It brought a sense of security in my life, and it utterly, utterly changed me. Because we're told, when we begin to understand who Jesus is and his love for us, look at what it says in verse 26. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. She is. Not one day will be, but is now. That means we are already citizens of heaven, part of God's family, not because of what we've done or achieved, not because we will do it right, but because of the faithfulness of Jesus and the cross. And that is deep security. And the minute you believe this, you become a citizen of Jerusalem, a member of God's family, a child of God, and you know you belong. You're no longer a foreigner. No one's going to tell you to go back to your country because this is now your home. You see? And Paul is saying, why would you want to go back to that kind of slavery? And that's why he's been saying throughout the letter, in chapter 3, 26, for in Christ Jesus, you are sons of God through faith. Chapter 4, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Children of promise. Did you see in the middle of verse 27, Paul actually quotes Isaiah 54, verse 1, when it says, for it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. And you know why he brings this up? This is a passage that addresses Jerusalem when they're actually in exile. They thought they will never, ever be fruitful again. And Isaiah is saying there is going to be a day when God will do these things through you and bless the nations again. You will be more fruitful than you can imagine. And that, he is saying, is your hope. You know, and I think Paul was perhaps thinking about himself also as he's saying all of this to the Galatians. Because he's thinking about his own life. Paul hardly had a home. We know he was always on the run for his life. He was a hunted man. He was beaten, shipwrecked. My goodness, he lost a promising professional career, maybe as an academic, you know. We know he died in exile. And as far as we know, he didn't have any children. Not physical ones anyway. But he calls the Galatians, my dear children. Because through faith, he has also become a pastor who has become a father, a spiritual father to many, many people. And he's saying, this is true of me. This is my hope. This is my legacy. This, you are my children. That's why I think he is so passionate that he is trying to protect these men and women from this false teaching. Because he's saying the thing we can count on is Jesus himself. And we are called to say, rest in this. I know a lot of you are saying, I find that so hard to believe. I struggle to believe this because I wish I can. But the minute I take my foot off the gas, I'm left wondering, what if God doesn't come through? What if he doesn't? And I want to do what Abraham did, which is take matters into my own hands. And when those moments come, can I just give you one pastoral advice? Go to God. Tell him, Lord, I am struggling to believe that this is true. Give me the faith to trust what you say. Give me the faith to believe, because it's easier to trust in myself than to trust in you. But help me to see the beauty of Jesus so that I would trust in you. And I promise God is saying, I will meet you in that moment when you cry out to me in that way. And he invites you into that this week. Let's go to him in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you give us this incredible gift called faith in your Son. And you tell us that that makes us your people. What a remarkable thing. It's a thing that's changed the world. And we ask that this morning we would have a deep drink from this beautiful story of the gospel, so that our souls would be so full, so that we would go out to live for you, that we would love our neighbors well, that we would love our enemies, that we would give ourselves to you because we begin to see what you've done for us and our world. And give us that kind of hope this morning. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.